Good evening, and welcome to the second season of Bipolar for Life. I'm your host, Wendy Ford, and I've managed to live with bipolar disorder for 44 years now. It hasn't always been pretty, but I've survived several suicide attempts, 4 psychiatric hospitalizations, and 1 disastrous trip to rehab. Yet I'm still here. Let me say up front that I am not a medical doctor. I am simply a seasoned manic depressive trying to help others survive this deadly mental illness through shared information and experiences. I was looking back over last season and realized I've given you a great deal of information to digest, but we haven't really talked about the day-to-day struggle that is bipolar disorder. I want to spend this season discussing just that, daily living issues that come up. Some may seem mundane to outsiders, like taking a shower, but it becomes a serious struggle when you're clinically depressed. As we discuss the issues this season, please remember that I'm speaking from my own experience. Your bipolar experiences may be entirely different, yet I suspect we'll have more in common than not. That being said, tonight I'd like to talk about one comorbidity of bipolar disorder that doesn't get discussed much out loud. Obesity. Nationally, obesity affects 41.9% of the adult population. Recent clinical research suggests that approximately 68% of people seeking treatment for bipolar disorder are overweight or obese. That's more than half of us, me included. I've never been what you could call skinny. Hell, I can't remember a time when I wasn't struggling with my weight. There is some recent research, however, that has been published in the International Journal of Obesity in 2023 that revealed individuals who are obese have an increased risk of developing bipolar disorder. Coincidentally, their research also showed that patients with bipolar disorder have an increased chance of obesity. So this research shows definitively that there's a connection between the two, but we have no clue what it means nor how it relates to the disorder. Personally, I think it's directly responsible for the insatiable sweet tooth that I get from time to time. I don't know if this happens to you, but in a mixed state, I need sweets. And the sweetest of sweets is not sweet enough. I start out with the usual suspects with candy bars or chocolate. Nope, not sweet enough. Then I make my way to ice cream and fudge sauce. Nope, not sweet enough. Then just fudge sauce. Yet that's still not sweet enough. You have to understand, inside my mouth there's a taste need that I'm trying to meet. It's an intense craving for extreme sugariness that overwhelms your rational mind. The only thing that I could ever find that came close to the craving was cake frosting straight out of the container. It wasn't what I was looking for, because it really wasn't sweet enough, but it was close. These intense cravings for sweets only happen when I'm in a mixed state situation. I like sweets, but I try to stay away from them as a rule. Yet these cravings are undeniable. I realize, in my rational mind, that eating frosting right out of the can with a spoon packs on the pounds, but there's no way to stop it until the craving is satiated. It's terrible in its control. Is this addictive behavior? Probably. I just thank God that it doesn't happen to me that often. Oh my. Confessions of an old manic depressive. Can you stand it? I wonder if you've ever had such a sugar craving or something similar. If you have, I'd love to hear from you. Just drop me a line at bipolarforlife@myyahoo.com and let's compare notes. So, for 68% of us, weight is an issue. It doesn't help that the medications add to weight gain. Many antidepressants have weight gain as a side effect, so weight issues become a daily struggle. For me, none of the diets worked well. I can usually lose a few pounds, but nothing of real significance. The weight problem invariably gives you a self-confidence problem, since our society has a love affair with skinny bodies. And don't you know that when the depression comes around, those self-loathing voices remind you of every pound you've gained, ounce by miserable ounce. Weight gain is not only bad for self-esteem, but also for your heart. Cardiovascular disease is the most common non-suicidal cause of death in people with bipolar disorder. Previous research has indicated that people diagnosed with a serious mental illness die 10 to 15 years earlier than the general population, and the leading cause of death is heart disease, which includes coronary artery disease, high blood pressure, cardiac arrest, and stroke. Scientists don't yet know why bipolar disorder raises the risk of heart disease, but it might reflect the role of inflammation and stress that are active in both conditions. You know what? I really don't feel like going over the information on heart disease. We've heard it all before from our doctors, haven't we? Hell, let's change the subject altogether, shall we? First, I'd like to say thank you to all the people listening out there. Hello, Toronto. Thanks so much for listening. I'd like to say hello to those in my hood in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. A big hey to Charlotte, North Carolina and Garden City, New York. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to those from overseas in Germany, India, New Zealand, Norway, Ireland, and Afghanistan. France and Colombia have checked in as well. Greetings to Bountiful, Utah, Los Angeles, California, High Point, North Carolina, and Baltimore, Maryland. I really appreciate the time we spend together. It's remarkable to me all the places that this podcast has reached. I have two maps in my hall with pins indicating each location that listens in. They're well pocked with little red pins. You all amaze me each and every time I walk down my hallway. Since we've gotten to know each other so well over the last season, and I now consider you my close friend, I need to ask you a favor. This is very important to me, and I need your help. Can I be honest? Over the last 4 weeks, I've agonized over what to do with Bipolar for Life Season 2. I've stressed over the topics, what topics to discuss with you, and what forum to do it in. If you listened to all of last season, you know that the format changed from its original design. No more commercials or coffee clutches in my place. It's become a more straightforward show. So here's the favor I need to ask. I need to hear from you. Yes, you. I need to know what topics you'd like to hear more about, whether you'd like them in the form of information or stories about experiences. What's your pleasure? Did you like the commercials and having coffee? Or do you like it better as an informal information session? This is essentially your show. I do this to try and help out, but I need to hear from you. How can I help? You can help me by sending an email to bipolarforlife@myyahoo.com. Bipolarforlife is all one word. @myyahoo.com is also one word. Tell me what you like about the show or what you hate about it. Let me know what I can do to help you with your daily struggle. Honestly, I want to help you deal with these issues that you're running into, but I need to know what they are. Right now, my daily struggle is with anxiety. I find myself wringing my hands and not sleeping well. It feels like I'm waiting for something to happen, but I don't know what to expect. Ever get that way? It's nothing specific, it's just an all-encompassing anticipation that permeates everything. You don't know when it will happen or what will happen, but you feel it's going to happen, and soon. What I hope will happen soon is that you will email me at bipolarforlife@myyahoo.com. Come on, let's chat. Tell me what's going on. I can't help if I don't know about it, right? You've heard that before, yeah. I know, but it's true. So let me know what you'd like to hear more about or what issues you find that you're dealing with. That way I can try to give you some help. If I don't know the answer or topic, I will find out for you. Remember, the only stupid question is the one not asked. If you're at the beginning of your bipolar journey, I know that you have questions. And if you're well into your journey, you'll have insights to share. Please email me with both. As someone who is well into their bipolar adventure, I'm always looking for ways to make the daily struggle easier. So if you have advice to give, please don't hesitate to share. Your advice might be just what someone needs to hear in order to make it through another day. So please, contact me at bipolarforlife@myyahoo.com and share your hard-won knowledge with others. I'd love for this show to become a forum for all things bipolar, the good, the bad, and the mixed states, everything. There's nothing so onerous that we can't talk about it. Every issue is important and can possibly shed light on a problem for others. So please, contact me with any questions, problems, or things that you'd want to know more about. The show really is all about you. I share the experiences and information that I have, but there's so much more we can accomplish if you share too. Again, my email address is bipolarforlife@myyahoo.com, and I would love to hear from you. In fact, I'm counting on it. So please don't let me down. Even if it's just to say hello and where you're listening from, please email me. Yes, I mean you. Don't wait for someone else to respond. I need you to email me. And it doesn't need to be a book. Just a quick note will suffice. I'm anxiously waiting to hear from you. As always, please be safe in your travels. Drop me a quick email about the show, and I'll talk to you next time on Bipolar for Life.